Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
With rain ever present in South Beach, it's time for a little TC Live. Mother Nature, so far the big winner in Miami today, taking center stage for most of the morning and afternoon. But we will break down all the action that did get in and get you ready for what is still to come. No pain, no gain, but a whole lot of rain in Miami as day four gets nearly washed away with a six-hour delay to start play. Plus, if you missed anything from the first few months of the season, we will recap what's already happened this year and look ahead as well. The usual suspects raising trophies. And these two are about to meet again, but not in a Wimbledon final. They're about to go head-to-head on T2. We're all about a little good trouble here on TC Live. Come on into our dry studios here in Santa Monica, California. Steve Weissman back alongside Monica Puig. We got the Hall of Famer Andy Roddick over on the big screen as well. Andy, Monica taught me some new words today. La lluvia has taken over. That is the rain, Monica.
You worked that into the first segment. I was waiting for like segment two, segment three.
Right as she said, I'm getting you sushi if you say it. So right away, Andy, I'm getting my sushi roll. What are we doing during these? Go ahead, Andy.
You lead a horse to water. You can't tell him not to drink, Monica.
I mean, I was trying to see where the confidence level was today. It was very high.
Very high. Very ambitious. Very ambitious, this one, Weissman.
Always when I'm with these two. What are we doing during a six-hour rain delay before the start of play?
I mean, there's so many things that you can do. Whenever I looked at the forecast and I saw that it was going to be a rainy day, I did a few things. I brought my iPad. I brought a book, some games. I wasn't really allowed to use my phone because it's like, don't stare at the screens. Your eyes are going to get tired. So anything that was non-screen related, we did. So, I mean, but it's if you're a player, it's nerve-wracking. You don't know when to start warming up, when to eat, what to do. But these players... We all know, and we have our teams to guide us, so that's good in itself.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're the first match on, like Coco was, like Sabalenka and Badosa, you know, and this is kind of the behind the curtain. We talk about other things, but you know that they need to get a set in because then they don't have to give refunds, right? So they are going to hold on as long as possible to try to get some play in so that they can make that money, Steve. That's not the most romantic thing, but that's the way it is. I found the toughest thing was trying to time meals. Yeah. Frankly, it's like you could be on in an hour or 45 minutes if it stops raining, or you could be on in 6 hours. So you don't have that predictable cadence. You don't have a match on before you that's a little bit more predictable, right? Like someone's rolling, you figure you're going to be on in 45 minutes. It's a bit of a crapshoot. So I always had a hard time. Like, you're not going to eat a huge meal, but you kind of have to pace yourself throughout the day. That was the toughest thing for me.
Plus, when you're bored, you just eat.
We were talking about there's a stress eating. Do I have a bar? Do I have a protein shake? Oh, wait, I have an unlimited balance on my credential. I'm going in and out of the cafeteria multiple times.
Yes. And I still have like those food things where it's like I associate certain types of food with nerves because that's the only thing I could eat during rain delays. And so I can't eat those foods ever again.
By the way, we are just in a delay right now, so hoping to get back to the action there in Miami. We'll keep you updated on all the weather and everything else going down at Hard Rock Stadium. But we did get some matches in, so we have some highlights to show you. How about Coco Gauff, youngest player from the U.S. to hold a top three seed at Miami, taking on the qualifier Nadia Podoroska.
Yeah, we like this matchup for Coco to kind of work her way into the tournament. She said before the match, she was kind of checked out. She saw the forecast, saw it was going to be raining, so she was like, am I going to play today? Maybe not. She had the opportunity, and she seized the moment. Steve, Andy, she came out looking really good, and I really like this Coco in particular. When she's stepping into the court, taking the balls early, Coco kind of gets into trouble when she's taken a few too many steps behind the baseline, but altogether, she's looking good, and she has a pretty decent draw here in Miami, looking to improve some of the form in the Middle East. Wasn't as sharp as she would have liked to be, but we know that when Coco's on fire, she is unstoppable.
Five aces saved all five break points that she faced while converting four of her own, 6-1, 6-2. Coco Gauff got in before the rain and then on the desk with Prakash.
How do you stay locked in but still kind of not too emotionally stressed and relaxed?
Yeah, honestly, I did not think we were going to play today, so I feel like I like completely turned off the mind a little bit. It was not easy, honestly. The conditions were so slow because of the rain and heavy, and I feel like it suits her game more because, you know, she usually likes to do well, play on the clay court, so it was kind of slow today.
Meantime, this one after that unthinkable tragedy earlier this week, Aryna Sabalenka taking the court for the first time against her best friend, Paula Badosa. 2-2 head-to-head coming in.
Yeah, she said clearly before the tournament she was not going to do any press. She kind of wanted to center her mind and focus on the task at hand, and that's exactly what she did against a friend, which is not easy to play in Paula Badosa, who hasn't really had a lot of matches either. But for Sabalenka, she had the cap on. She was focused on what she needed to do out on the court. Had a little bit of trouble closing out this opening set, but I think this really helped her once she won that first set to kind of settle in. The wind, the rain, the conditions, definitely not easy to play today, but she had some fun with it. I saw Sabalenka cracking a few smiles out on the court, which is always good to see after what she's been through. But I believe that Sabalenka being on the court is definitely where she needs to be at this moment, and getting this win is incredibly tough, but she did come through.
And a nice moment at the net between these two good friends. Great embrace. And Paula just kind of leans in here, give her some love. Aryna Sabalenka gets the victory, broke three times, saved the only break point she faced, having a spectacular season. Now 14-3 on the year. And Andy, when you see that highlight, kind of makes sense that it helped her having Badosa on the other side of the net.
Yeah, I think so. I think the world works in weird ways sometimes, and I think if she's going through the emotions in this match, we had no idea what would happen, right? Nothing would have surprised us. She comes out, she plays well. Okay, she plays well. She's a really good player. She won the last slam. She's 2 in the world. She plays badly. That makes sense too, after what she's gone through. But I got a feel, and I'm probably projecting on something I know nothing about, but I guess that's kind of our job sometimes. But, you know, if she looks across the court and sees a friendly face and sees someone that she knows, no matter what, at the end of this, I'm going to get a hug. I'm going to get an embrace. This is the person I want to interact with at the end of what's a very public emotional experience. I think she would say that this was a good thing that she played someone she's so close to.
Once again, Sabalenka is not doing any press during this event, but I thought you brought up a good point, Monica, the hat. We normally don't see Aryna wearing hats on court. She was in all black. That hat pulled down really low.
Yeah, she had it pretty much at eye level. We couldn't really see what was going on, if she was feeling emotional, if something was bothering her. And maybe that helped, you know, kind of put the blinders on and just helped her focus on the task at hand, which is incredibly tough to do with what she's dealing with. But overall, we didn't really expect anything from her, and I think that this is a good win to kind of help settle her into the tournament. We saw some smiles, which is great, all things considered. So hopefully, you know, she takes some time to recover, has to come back and play tomorrow since the tournament did give her that extra day to kind of center herself, which was incredible. Hat off, clap to James for doing that, like Andy said yesterday. Yeah. And, you know, we'll go day by day with Aryna, but, you know, she is a force to be reckoned with either way.
Yeah, she certainly is. Send our love out to her still and, wish her all the best. But nice win for Aryna Sabalenka in this first match. Meantime, we had an upset, a big one on the men's side. Andrei Rublev had won his last 11 opening round matches, but playing an in-form Thomas Mahac, coming in at a career-high 60 in the world.
I don't know that I can do justice to the Mahac part of it like you can, Steve, but it is weird. It's a testament to how good Rublev and how consistent he's become that this is kind of a shocking result when someone lower rank gets the better of him early in a tournament. But Mahac has been playing well the last month or so, really kind of out-Rublev-ing Rublev, stepping inside the court, finding the line, hitting flat balls through the court. Rublev was never actually able to get set, right? And he is as dangerous as they come when he has 2 feet underneath himself. But Mahac really stuck to his game plan, hit behind Rublev a bunch. When he was check-stepping towards the middle, going behind a hitter sometimes, the best scenario, and served it out like it was no big deal. Really impressive stuff from Ahad.
First career top 10 win, biggest win of his life, and wins consecutive matches at the Masters level for the first time as well. Andre Rublev is out. Meantime, when we come back, a lot more to get to. Our FanDuel match preview focuses on the top-ranked American in the world, Taylor Fritz. We're in a rain delay in Miami. It's TC Live.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Monica, Andy, Steve back on TC Live. La Juvia, it continues to come down in Miami. That's two sushi rolls, Monica Puig.
Hey, I only said one.
No, but I said it twice. Now I get two. We're going to Nobu. Lots of rain today, but what about tomorrow? Here's the forecast with Fox Weather.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather meteorologist Stephen Morgan. Here's tomorrow's Miami Open forecast. We have a mix of sun and clouds, but probably storms sticking around. Highs in the upper 70s. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
More rain. FanDuel match preview focuses on Taylor Fritz and Thiago Zybach Vuj. It is not wild that these are the odds, Andy Roddick. Big favorite for Taylor.
It's not wild. Steve, that's the biggest upset I've ever seen. It's not wild.
It is not wild.
I actually think it's overpriced here. Say about wild, or whatever, however you pronounce it, which is probably the appropriate way to do it. It actually has been playing great, came through the qualies, has been winning a bunch of matches on hardcore. We forget that he beat Daniil Medvedev first round of Roland Garros last year. I like Fritz in the matchup. I think he's an overwhelming favorite, but like, 6-1, 7-1. That's a big number. I don't hate the other side of this at those numbers.
All right. Andy says it could be wild that Zybach Vuj is not favored it's not favored as much.
I think he still needs to practice the name a little bit. We'll give him a little bit of time. But I think, you know, Taylor Fritz is an incredible player. I really like what I saw from him in Delray Beach. I really like the way he plays on a hard court. A lot to be expected of him, of course. Everybody's eyes are always on him when he plays in a tournament. New kit, Hugo Boss, face of Hugo Boss right now. You know, I really like the way that he's playing, the way he's doing his things. And this is kind of becoming a home tournament for Taylor Fritz. Now lives in Miami. So, you know, home court advantage always, you know, I liked it. So
I think we all like to play home matches, Andy. Listen, Taylor right now, 13 in the world. He's the top-ranked American man, but he's got Tommy Paul right behind him at 14, Ben Shelton at 16. They can both overtake him if they win this tournament and other things happen. How much longer do you think Taylor stays at the top, or do you think some of these other guys come in?
I think it's kind of a useless conversation, honestly. Like, if you're 13, 14, 15, does it matter? If Taylor plays well and goes to 11, is he worse off if Tommy Paul's 10? Like, you know, I think we should be focusing on the difference. I actually think Taylor Fritz, he's ranked 13. I think he's better than that. I think he's a threat in every tournament he plays in. I think he can take the racket out of your hands sometimes. As far as just pure ball striking, when you take out, you know, the movement piece and maybe the variety piece, the guy can just stripe it. Right. So I'll probably focus less on if Tommy Paul, you know, gets to 12 and Taylor's at 13 and more. Listen, can we get three Americans in the top 10? That would be unreal.
That would be unreal. But don't you think it matters for those other guys to get to that top American spot?
I think we're punching down. I'd like for an American to get to number one. I think that should be the conversation.
Okay. We've got high expectations. As we should.
I really like that they're pushing each other. You know, that's kind of the thing when you have all of these guys kind of in the mix. One wants to be better than the other one, and that pushes the other one to want to be better. So I really like that aspect of it, not so much if one can be the top American or the other. Just continue to push each other, make each other better, and, you know, there's probably a slam that's going to come out of that. And then that encourages somebody else to do the same thing. So I really like that in Americans men's tennis right now.
All right. By the way, this match could still happen later tonight, Fritz and Zybach-Vooj. So hopefully it gets on the court. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets. If your $5 bet wins, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. Caroline Garcia, despite the rains, has decided to stay on the court. She's got a towel over her head. She's up 3-love right now, first set against Victoria Tomova. But she has not left the court, Monica. She's like, listen, I'm going to stay out here and weather the storm.
I mean, sometimes this is what players want to do. They kind of want to, you know, weigh in their odds. Is it going to happen? Is it not? I would probably rather be out on the court when you're looking for a possibility to play. You know, you get off the court, maybe, you know, you take your focus off of the match. She's up 3-0, has nothing to worry about. But, you know, this is where if you're Coco or Sabalenka, I'm glad I got it done already.
Absolutely. Andy, if your match got delayed because of weather, are you staying out on court like that? Or going into the locker room, getting some food, talking to your coach?
Yeah, that would be like having access to a car and choosing to walk to the next city, Steve. Like, I don't know that I fully understand sitting out in kind of cold, blustery, wet conditions when you have everything at your disposal. I get the fact that she's trying to will the weather to go away, but I don't know that her presence on that court changes weather conditions. I don't know that she's staying, you know, any warmer by hanging out there sitting underneath an umbrella.
And not even sitting under an umbrella. Now maybe she's getting the umbrella. Nope, they're taking it away on standby. Garcia's tough. Just give her a couple towels. No need for Rihanna's umbrella out there. We're going to catch you up on the entire season thus far, who won the major down under, plus the big Masters 1000 as well. A full recap of 2024 when we come back.
Dramatic as it gets.
He's gone from playing no tennis to playing a match like this.
There's no doubt that it's a little bit scary to see Rafa hurting this early in the season, especially after his long layoff and comeback.
Well, it's back-to-back Australian Open Championships for Arena Sabalenka. Has done it in style.
She played fantastic tennis all tournament long.
Young Sinner.
Let's go, CJ, let's go!
He is the last man standing at a major for the first time in his career.
Jannik Sinner did what many people thought was the impossible in stopping Novak Djokovic in the semi-finals.
Taylor Fritz, the 2024 Delray Beach Open champion, did it in style. A remarkable tournament.
Fiontek continued this lovely little run in Doha. A hat-trick of titles now, virtually unbeatable on that court in these conditions.
It's victory for Jannik Sinner in Rotterdam. It's 15 wins in a row. He is the man to beat right now in men's tennis.
To me, he's the best player on the planet the last 4 months.
It was a vintage performance from Iga Świątek.
Establishing herself back as the dominant world number one.
Give the young man Alcaraz a tip of the cap. Gents, he is back. Watch out, rest of the tour.
If you didn't know, now you know. That's how it's gone so far this season. By the way, we are still in a rain delay at the Miami Open. Here are your FanDuel odds to win the tournament. Carlos Alcaraz, the odds on favorite right now, followed by Jannik Sinner, Daniil Medvedev, Sasha Zverev, Alex de Minaur, Taylor Fritz at plus 2,400. What do you think of this, Andy?
I like Sinner at a certain number. You know, I think he's been the best player in the world probably the last 6 months. I think, you know, Alcaraz going into Indian Wells was lacking confidence. But I think that surface and those conditions did him more favors than any of the other favorites in that event. I think the ball's a little lower. It seems like the court's playing a little quicker. I like Sinner in these conditions. But listen, you're splitting hairs at this point. I'm so happy that the Chuckster's back playing well, playing confident. And I have a lot of time for this Sinner-Alcaraz rivalry.
I mean, I echo that 1,000%. I mean, this is a matchup that we want to see time and time and time again. I really like Medvedev in there. He plays well on the hard courts. He can move around the hard courts very well. We'll kind of drive opponents crazy because it's tough to get a ball past him. I think definitely Dimonar, you got to keep your eye on him. He's been playing incredibly well over the past couple weeks, months. He can stun anybody at this point. I think he also believes it. But I mean, we just want to see that rivalry, which is kind of like the rivalry of the future, current, and hopefully past. Yeah, it's incredible. The points that they were playing in Indian Wells. I mean, that's unheard of. But Alcaraz, maybe some superpowers thanks to the bees in Indian Wells. So we never know.
With no Novak, it's the first time at a Masters event. These guys are the top two seeds. So fortunately, it won't be a semifinal matchup. It would be a final matchup if they were both to meet there. By the way, Jannik Sinner had to get off the court because of the rain right now. He's backstage kind of trying to stay loose. What's that, like 20, 25 pounds there, Andy, in the right hand?
I don't know, but everyone, it feels like everyone on tour now, with the exception of Alcaraz, is 6'4" and in like a skinny rubber band that is just like it's like a rubber band of power. Like, you see him, it's like he's on court, he's skinny, he's still getting out of the corners, he's dynamic, he can just sling the ball. But I like what Monica said. I know the focus is on Alcaraz and Sinner, and I feel like the player who gets skipped in a lot of these conversations, like routinely, is Medvedev. Like, if you look at his resume, compared to other people who have won it, like a slam, it so far supersedes every other person in his position. I want him to win another slam just so he gets the credit that he deserves. How many Masters 1000s? How many times does he regularly get to the finals of slams? And, you know, because something's newer, shinier, or older and more established, he's often the odd man out in these conversations. And if I hear one more conversation about the best backhands in the world where people name five people ahead of Medvedev, I think I'm going to, like, just tip myself over in this chair.
We don't want to see that.
Who are your top five backhands in the world right now?
I have to think about it. Obviously, Sinner is up there. Medvedev, I think, is right there. Djokovic is right there also. Zverev is probably there. And then it's like a mix between, you know, Rafa, he still can sleep. Never got enough credit for his backhand because his forehand's so good. Alcaraz in that conversation, I especially like what he was doing in Indian Wells with kind of setting people up for the kill, right? Chipping, bringing him in, and then kind of blowing past him with the forehand, creating some space where Medvedev couldn't just shift back. But I guess I went in on a tangent there, Steve.
No, you answered the question. You were like, I don't think I can. And then you did. So Medvedev's right there, top five. Love that. All right, let's see our FanDuel odds to win on the women's side. Iga Swiatek looking for the sunshine double for a second time, plus 130, followed by Elena Rybakina, Aryna Sabalenka, Coco Gauff, plus 900. I put some money on that. Zhang Qinwen and Jessie Pegula as well. Monica, do these make sense to you, or do you think somebody else should be favored?
I mean, I would put Iga right where she is. I don't know about Rybakina. I don't know about Sabalenka. Obviously, we got to see how that kind of progresses. I think I would put Gauff ahead of Rybakina and Sabalenka at this point. But Iga is number one for a reason. She seems to steamroll everybody, not with her play, but with her footwork. I think her footwork is pretty much what rounds out her game. She eats the court with her feet. She's not hitting the ball very big. She's taking time away from her opponents. And I feel like the way to kind of disrupt Iga's game is doing what she does to her opponents time after time. Iga loves to have time to execute her game. Once you take time away from Iga, that's where things get a little bit dicey. I really haven't seen anybody who's willing to do that when they get onto the court, and maybe that might be the Iga intimidation factor. Because she has beaten everybody so handily already, people are kind of like, okay, and I haven't seen this in a really long time since, like, the likes of Sharapova, Serena, whatever, that people enter the court and they're like, I don't think I can beat her. But she's earned that right, because every time she goes onto the court, she's always at, you know, 1,050% of her mental, physical, emotional capacity out there. So no surprise that she's a favorite.
Yeah, I mean, Rybakina's got a pretty good head-to-head against Swiatek. The real kryptonite for Iga is Yelena Ostapenko, 4-0. So as long as she doesn't play Ostapenko, she's got a pretty clear path. But I thought, Andy, you had a really good point the other day about maybe she doesn't even get enough love as somebody who's 22 years old, approaching now 100 weeks at number one in the world with all the majors and all the titles and streaks of victories that she's had.
You could cut her career in half right now, Steve, and she'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Totally.
Like, think about that. And she's 22 years old. I think specifically as it pertains to Miami, listen, when you get a little help from the court, and by help, I mean it's a little bit smoother, the ball gets through the court a little bit more. Like Monica was referencing, you can actually get through the court on her forehand side. I think she has the best forehand in the world with that circle C footwork when the ball is hanging. But defensively, I think there are people who actually play better defense than Iga on that side, maybe not on the backhand side. I think she kind of gets that open stance kind of pinch situation where she can fight that off, but you can go through her forehand side on fast courts. That's kind of the only place to attack ever. And this court seems like it's giving a little bit of love, but why Iga is the out and out favorite pretty much in every tournament is because you're betting on people not making it to that matchup. I actually think Rybakina versus Iga on a fast court, if Rybakina is at the tail end of a tournament, so semis, finals, when they normally play, it means she's in form. She just gets there a lot less than Iga at this moment in time. But fully agree with Monica. Like, Coco at 9-1 is a joke. Like, I think she's second favorite.
Yeah. All right. By the way, Coco already a win and gets the day off tomorrow. So that's good news as well. Caroline Garcia did eventually leave the court. So no players were mad. I think she may have heard you, Andy. And she was like, you know, he's right. What am I doing out here?
That's a wrap. Let's get out of here.
Also, our correspondent on site, Chris Eubanks, sent me a message. Taylor Fritz will not be playing tonight. His match has been canceled for the evening. Thank you for that, Big Banks. Some news to get to in the social net. Guess what? New guest for Nick Kyrgios on his show, Good Trouble with Nick Kyrgios on T2, is going to be none other than the world number one, Novak Djokovic, Monica. He's had a lot of great guests on the show.
Yeah, when he said that he had an announcement coming, I was like, okay, I started going down a rabbit hole on Twitter, now known as X. I was like, okay, what is it? Is he going to retire finally, or is he something happening? I saw somebody say, do you have a new coach and you're going to come back from Monte Carlo? But this is even better, I think. I mean, I would really love to sit down and listen to what these two are going to chat about. I think Nick is an incredible personality. Djokovic as well. It's going to be a great conversation.
Yeah, I'm interested how deep they go. I know it's kind of been this started off a little rocky, and now all they do is sing each other's praises all the time. So I'm curious to see Nick's interviewing skills. Right? Is it going to be a victory lap, or are we actually going to get into the nitty gritty? Are we actually going to disagree with each other a little bit? Maybe some good trouble, but keyword being trouble.
Nick is your fellow T2 show host, Roddick. You've got one dropping on Sunday. New show, new served with Andy Roddick. Who's the guest this week?
Well, we were lucky enough. So Kim Clijsters was our first guest, and she went so deep and was so honest and raw about her relationship with her father coming back after motherhood, but also dealing with the passing of her father. If you haven't seen the interview, please go watch it. I learned a lot, and she's been a friend of mine since we were 14 years old. She's agreed to kind of be a regular contributor, so monthly guest. So she's on again, breaking down in a world where it feels like we're talking about a new tennis comeback every day, whether it's Nishikori or Rafa or, you know, all the wonderful, powerful women that are coming back from motherhood. I said, who better to talk about it than the person, Kim Clijsters, who probably has the best comeback of all time, but also experienced a comeback that maybe didn't get off the ground recently as much as she would have liked. So we dove into that a little bit. It'll be fun to, hopefully it'll be fun for everyone to watch.
That's awesome. So served with Andy Roddick, John Wertheim, and Kim Clijsters now. We're adding new members.
That's right.
Every day.
I hope so.
That's fantastic. Great podcast. Once again, Sunday drops on T2, 7 p.m. Eastern, the new episode. And then on Tuesday, you see the full episode as well. We are still in a rain delay in Miami right now. Day session tomorrow. Hopefully begins 11 a.m. Fox Weather told us more rain in the forecast. TC Live, you know, we're malleable. We'll go wherever we fit in. More coverage after this. Welcome back to TC Live. Another match that got in before the rains came back. Emma Navarro comes in at a career-high 20 in the world, 11 in the race, by the way. So that's her real level this year. Gets another win, 6-4, 6-3 against Storm Hunter. Came back from a breakdown in the first set and afterward caught up with Prakash on our desk.
You've been playing phenomenal tennis. We've loved watching you just kind of skyrocket up the rankings. Top 20 now, hit your career high. Surely that was a goal of yours. Have you adjusted that, set a new goal in the near future?
The goal has always been just see how good I can be. And there's not really a ranking or a certain result that comes with that. Obviously, I would love to be the best player in the world, but top priority is just seeing how good I can be. And I guess, yeah, next goal would be top 10. I want to continue to improve myself as a player, on the court, off the court, mentally, physically, the whole nine yards, and we'll see what happens.
Say it loud and say it proud. We love that. But there are beautiful perks that come as you move up your rankings, including Captain Lindsay Davenport selecting you for the Billie Jean King Cup team. That must have felt pretty special.
Yeah, for sure. To be able to play for my country is something that's really cool, really special, and to be able to play under Lindsay, such an inspiration, and alongside so many amazing American female tennis players, it's really cool.
Listen, we can't wait to watch you get out there. Taylor Townsend was here on our desk not too long ago, and she said, listen, that bench is going to be absolutely lit. It seems like you guys got some really good chemistry between all of you.
Awesome. Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
Well, listen, we can't wait for that. We can't wait for your next round. We'll let you get a little bit of rest, and best of luck.
Thank you so much.
It's been awesome to see what Emma has been able to do this year. That ranking is just up, up, and away. By the way, normally at this time is when we send it back to Miami for Danny and Prakash to do their preview of the next day's matches. Obviously, it's raining right now, but while it was raining, look what they got to do today. How cute is that?
Oh, gosh. I had to say, I'm glad I'm not in Miami right now, because I would be taking one of those home.
Yeah, just look at the way Prakash holds that thing. Anything to flash a bicep, right? It's like a curl. He doesn't have to curl that thing. It weighs half a pound. You know, that's gratuitous curling, Steve.
I thought he was going to be in the gym with Jannik Sinner when he was doing the lunges. I was like, where's Pete?
That's where the inspiration is coming from. Everybody's watching his Instagram workouts. Everybody wants to start lifting these 100-plus pound weights. You know, just got to get on Prakash's level.
His pup at home, Jonah's definitely jealous of the love he was given to those little tykes in Miami, that is for sure. Let's break down one match that could still happen tonight. The defending champion, who is not the odds-on favorite to win, Daniil Medvedev, in action against Martin Fucsovics, Andy. 3-1 head-to-head, but you know what Medvedev is able to do on these courts.
Yeah, and no disrespect to Fucsovics, but anyone who can't surf through Medvedev and can't create the amount of torque, whether it's speed or height, like a Rafa Nadal, is going to struggle. It's hard to kind of play through Medvedev when you're not one of the biggest hitters in the game. He's simply going to get too many looks at serves, right? He's going to put too many returns in play. Actually, Medvedev hasn't been holding serve at the clip that he normally does. And the results haven't been worse for the wear because of it. I like Medvedev in this one. I like him in most matchups where someone can't simply serve 135 to get easy points and or create speed off the forehand side. Fucsovics' game is almost too flat and through the court to be effective against Medvedev, but I'm sure I'll be wrong. We'll see.
I doubt he's going to be wrong. The way I always see it about Medvedev, the bigger the court, the better the odds for Medvedev, because he does cover so much ground. And like Andy said, on the returning side, it doesn't really matter if he's holding serve or not. He goes up to return and is confident because he knows that he has the ability to break. He knows that he can step far back behind the baseline, and no matter where the serve is going, he can get that return back and work his way around. What I really like is that when he does start on the defensive from the back part of the court, he knows how to work his way forward and transition and come into the net. So, you know, this, once again, I'm going to say it, the bigger the court, the better the Medvedev. Yeah.
The bigger the court, the better the Medvedev. Medvedev's a big man on his own. By the way, we are still trying to get more tennis from Miami. We'll keep you posted on that. When La Juvia goes away, that's three sushi rolls. Andy Roddick, I'm going to be very full and content.
I shouldn't have said anything.
When we come back, we are going to send you out to some encore coverage from yesterday, the second set of Madison Keys and Diana Schneider. But stay tuned here. May have some more tennis live from Miami later. For Monica Puig, Andy Roddick, our entire team, I'm Steve Weissman. Thanks for joining us on this midday TC Live.